Greetings. Greetings again, my dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. You are listening to thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's date is September 12th, 2010. You make contact me by emailing yalove@comcast.net. Now what we want to do is shift and go back into the book of Revelation. We're having the mind of God. We're understanding what the real and true issues are. We're not going to let anyone dissuade us and persuade us to think on that which would divide the community, that which would divide the oppressed, that which would divide Christian from Muslim, from Buddhist, from Hindu, from nationalist, from Pan-Africanist, from whoever else. We are coming with the idea of uniting the oppressed, no matter your color, your race, your national origin, your ethnicity, no matter your gender. And we are uniting with the mind of God and the mind of Christ to overturn the wicked oppressor. Revelation is Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness. Now, the book of Revelation, we left off last time around verse 9, where the African apostle John sees the vision of Jesus Christ, Jah, and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us the type of teaching that will cause us to understand that this vision of Jesus Christ is also the vision of the black man and woman. We who were kidnapped from our kith and kin in Africa, taken on a westerly journey to North America, buried in a shallow grave in the North Country. We, black people of the West, fulfill that which is written of in Genesis 15, 13 through 15 about the seed of Abraham going through 400 years of slavery, 400 years of affliction. We, black man and woman of the West, fulfill Deuteronomy 28 and 68 concerning the African Hebrews being turned back into slavery by way of ship. We are the only people as a collective who were stolen and kidnapped and taken into slavery by the use of ships. We fulfill that scripture. So we are the African Hebrew Israelite nation. And we are the messianic people. And as Jesus the Christ has the mission and commission to stand up for truth, justice, and righteousness, so it is with us as the messianic people. We also have that mission and commission to stand up for truth, justice, and righteousness. So John also sees the vision. That vision pertains to we, the black man and woman, kidnapped from our African sisters and brothers, kith and kin, in Africa. So verse 10 of Revelation chapter 1. I was in the spirit, John talking, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I will be referring to many teachers and scholars as we go and continue in this teaching, because I love giving credit to teachers who are teaching the truth. Elijah Muhammad taught us that the trumpet represents resurrection, that the trumpet is symbolism. And what we must understand is that we are teaching from the original perspective of the African scientists, African science of revolution, in which we see the whole of creation as being symbolic of an aspect of the Most High God. And the Most High God is Father and Mother, Amen, Amenet. Yahweh, Father and Mother. So the trumpet is symbolic of resurrection, because at the sounding of the trumpet, the dead will rise. But we're not speaking in this case of those in a physical cemetery. We are speaking of we, the black man and woman of the West, who have been disconnected from Africa, disconnected from African ancestors' knowledge, wisdom, overstanding, African history, and African culture. So because of that disconnection, we have been hit in the head and robbed of our knowledge and rendered as spiritually, mentally, and morally dead. And so by extension, the human family is also dead. Look around as the human family continues to perpetuate a life of death, a life that is not a life, a life of conflict, warfare, and bloodshed. The human family living on a level of dead, spiritual, mental, moral, and physical death. And so the trumpet symbolizes resurrection. The resurrection of the black man and woman, the reconnection of the black man and woman to our kith and kin in Africa. We are Africans in the diaspora, our kith and kin Africans yet in Africa, all of us having to reconnect with African history, culture, knowledge, wisdom, overstanding, so that we, as the original people of the earth, and let me move on to verse 11, because this follows what I want to say, saying, Jesus talking, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Black man and woman, you are the Alpha and the Omega. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us once again that we are the first people of the earth. We are the original people of the earth. Africans in Africa, Africans in the diaspora. We are the ancient original descendants of God. We are the first on the planet, the first human being to be created. Africans in Africa, Africans in the diaspora. We black people of the West, disconnected from Africa, we are that messianic people. And when we, as Elijah Muhammad said, and as our African Egyptian ancestors said, accept our own, which means come back to Africa, hook up with our kith and kin in Africa, and know ourselves, accept ourselves, and be ourselves, be the Africans that we are. The word Africa, coming from three words in compilation, which means houses for the spirit and soul of the Almighty. That is who we are. We are, in the human family, among the human family, the original houses for the spirit and soul of the Almighty. We are that original people that would stand up in the last days and stand up for truth, justice, and righteousness. Accept your own and be yourself. In verse 11 of chapter 1, again, write these things in a book. Send it to the seven churches. So we want to talk to the seven, to the churches today. We want to understand, what is the message to the churches today? What is the message to the black church? Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now recall earlier in verse 4, we read about the seven spirits. Now we read about the seven golden candlesticks. This is all African symbolism. The Africans, our ancestors, not only the ancestors of black people, but the African ancestors are the ancestors of the whole of the human family. We are descendant of those who are the father and mother of the human family. All come out of black, all come out of Africa. So we saw the whole of creation as symbolic of an aspect of, you would say, God, or I would say the Most High. Now, move, and we're gonna deal with these candlesticks and seven spirits and whatnot at the end of chapter one, but first we wanna continue with this vision of Jesus as really also the vision of the resurrected black man and woman. So in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, at the same time, because we are all spirit sons and daughters of God, housed in physical flesh, that flesh being what you would call Son of Man, or Son of Dirt, or Son of Physicality, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. All of this has symbolism, my dear sisters and brothers. Now, Ashra Kwesi, A-S-H-R-A, Kwesi, and his wife, Mariwa Kwesi, I believe that's spelled M-E-R-I-R-A. Ashra and Mariwa Kwesi have done wonderful research on our ancestors in Africa, Africa, Egypt, Africa, Ethiopia, Nubia, and so on, and have uncovered the reality that the number 13 is not unlucky, but the number 13 is the number of resurrection. Look at that symbolism pointing us toward resurrection again. Resurrection again. The trumpet, resurrection. The number 13, resurrection. This is the resurrection of the dead black man and woman. We, with this knowledge of the African science of revolution, will rise up and be reborn to stand up for equal rights and justice, and to raise up the human family into this knowledge. Poor black, poor brown, poor red, poor yellow, and poor white. We the masses, we the oppressed, this is our resurrection. And we, the black man and woman, Africans in Africa and the diaspora, must come back to ourselves so that we may resurrect. So in this verse 13, we're going to see that which will aid our resurrection. So, in the midst, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus, is in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah. And he has a garment down to the foot. This is all symbolism. In the vision of Jesus, this is the vision of black people, the resurrected black man and woman, the resurrected Africans in Africa and the diaspora. And by extension, through us, the resurrection of the human family. Now, he had a golden girdle around the paps, or a golden band around the chest. In the Living Bible, by Tyndale, they explained that the golden band and golden girdle represents the priesthood of the Messiah. Okay? The priesthood of the Messiah represented by the golden band and the golden girdle. Well, this is a vision of black people, the black man and woman resurrected. We as a people are the original high priest of the human family, going into the presence of God, the Most High Father and the Most High Mother, and bringing that knowledge to the human family. We, the Africans, our ancestors, gave civilization to the human family, gave the knowledge of civilization, science, mathematics, geometry, geology, the knowledge of the universe, sun, moon, stars, astral knowledge. We are the original high priest, and it is time for us to once again become who we are, accept our own, and be ourselves, and take this knowledge back to the human family again, that we as the oppressed, and we as black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white, may resurrect and overturn this wicked system of Rome, Britain, and America, Mystery Babylon, that is no longer a mystery. We're going to take our last break, and I will see you on the other side of the break. Greetings. Greetings again, my dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters of the human family, the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. You are listening to thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's date is September the 12th, 2010. You may contact me by emailing yallove@comcast.net. Continuing with Revelation chapter 1, going to verse 14. And his head, meaning Jesus. This is the vision of the African revolutionary apostle John concerning Jesus Christ, but also concerning the messianic people, we, the Africans, the black man and woman of the West, we, descendants of Africa, and yet sons and daughters of Africa, who are now reconnecting with our kith and kin in Africa, and together as the original people of light and life. This is the vision of us as well as servants of the human family. His head and his hairs, verse 14, chapter 1, were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, his head and his hair, white like wool, white as snow. This does not mean he was white, because he wasn't. Jesus is African. Jesus is black. But when you become old, your hair turns white or gray, and your scalp and whatnot turns white because of age. And so this describes and symbolizes the anciency of Jesus Christ, the anciency of the body of knowledge that he represents as justice and the crusher from the Most High. This original knowledge that has no beginning and no ending from the Most High, because we have to remain clear that we are not the originators of the knowledge. We are the first in the human family to gain access to the knowledge given to us by the Most High. So, as this represents Jesus as ancient, this also represents the black man and woman as the ancient original people of the earth, people of the universe, first in creation. This represents that ancient wisdom, that ancient divine wisdom that we must reconnect to and with. We are the original ancient divine people of wisdom, and we gave that wisdom to the human family. And it is time now for us to do it again. Now, before I forget, that woolly, the hair was woolly. That's that good stuff. That's that nappy type hair. That's that hair that stands up like a bald fist. I heard my brother teacher, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, former minister of the Nation of Islam, say that we are so strong and so black that even our hair stands up against the oppressor. So that lets you know this is a black man that John is looking at. And the teachers of Christianity coming out of Europe have infected us with a disease that causes us to hate black. And so they always camouflage the reality that Jesus, African, black, too black, too African, and too strong. Now, in verse 14 again, the eyes as a flame of fire. Well, the Application Bible, the Life Application Bible, the Living Bible by Tyndale says that the eyes of fire has to do with the judging and judgment of evil. The eyes of the Messiah, Jesus, sees the evil and with the mind of God judges that evil. As Christ comes to crush the evil, crush the wicked and evil ruling class and ruling families, Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, Illuminati, Masonic Order, Wall Street, the wealthy that are destroying the people of the earth. So with the eyes of fire, judgment on the evil, judgment on the wicked, judgment on the oppressor. This is you, black man and woman. You are that messianic people, and you are given the task to go into this African knowledge of Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness, and judge the evil with the mind of Christ, the mind of God, and see the evil and condemn the evil. Stand up for the oppressed, against the oppressor. This is you, messianic people. You are the true Jew, the true descendants and seed of Abraham. The European Jew is not that Jew. The European Jew is an imposter. The European Jew has stolen your heritage and your culture, and it is time now for us to take back that which is rightfully ours. We will stand up for the human family. We will stand up for the oppressed, no matter the color. Verse 15, and his feet, Jesus talking to apostle, the African revolutionary apostle John speaking of Jesus again, this vision of the black African revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus, Yahshua, Christus, Yahshua, Messiah. Verse 15 in chapter 1, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now his feet are the color of brass. That's black people. That's African people. But burnt as it was in an oven. Go take brass, it's brown, color of African people already, and then burn it. That's black. This is a black man. But the images of Jesus were changed to white. Now, do we really care? We don't care in and of itself. But why is it that the Christians out of Europe changed the images of Jesus from black to white? Coming back to our brother teacher, Ashra Kwesi again. This will be in my summary. And you can see how to spell the name in his teaching video, The African Origin of Christianity. I believe that's the name of it. The African Origin of Christianity. He reveals to us that before 1500 AD, all, not some, not a few, but all of the drawings and paintings of Jesus were that of a black African. And so we need to ask the question, why is it that it was changed? In 1500 AD, Pope Julius, I believe it's Pope Julius II, but Pope Julius commissioned Michelangelo to draw Jesus as white, change him from the real, factual black man to a white man. Now this in and of itself means nothing. We don't care what color he is. When I was a child and thought he was white, I loved Jesus. But when I came to the reality, to the truth, I had to come to the truth that he's an African. But why was he changed? And not only that, the message was changed. You don't get the message of Jesus as being a message of liberation on every level. You don't get the message of Jesus as a message of liberation gospel, deliverance gospel, liberation theology, deliverance theology. You don't find Christian organizations joining revolution, joining with the people to take back their land, their wealth, and their resources. Christian organizations work on behalf of the ruling class and ruling families to destroy Native people's culture, African people's culture, to teach the type of teaching that will make you a better slave, a better colonized person, to the type of teaching that will cause you to be easy when the oppressor comes and take your land, your wealth, and your resources. Brother Ashra Kwesi coined the phrase, "The enemy has become our deity." The enemy oppressor, in order to enslave the black man and woman, in order to enslave the Africans, changed the image of Jesus from the black Messiah that he really is to a Caucasian, because then the color would match our enemy oppressor. And that being the case, the enemy has become the deity, and you don't have the strength to fight your oppressor because you think the oppressor looks like your Messiah or your deity. God is white, the angels are white, Mary's white, Jesus is white, the oppressor is white. So you don't have the strength to fight the oppressor. And we're not condemning all Europeans and all Caucasians and all white people. I'm speaking particularly of the ruling class and ruling families, the slave masters, the colonizers. Our beef with those who are Caucasian and are not the ruling class is those of you who are Caucasian and refuse to join us in overthrowing your own sister and brother at the top. We have a problem with that. What we want to do is join forces together to tell the truth again, to restore the factuality and reality of the black African revolutionary Messiah Jesus. And then understand that we as black people, the Africans kidnapped from Africa, taken into the West on a westerly journey, buried in the North Country in your Masonic order. The ritual of Hiram Abiff is the ritual of the black man and woman, the messianic people. That is you and that is me, and it is our destiny to restore truth, to restore Mayat, to restore truth, justice, and righteousness, to resurrect ourselves through reconnection with Africa, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, the ancestors, and then take that knowledge to our kith and kin, meaning in this case, the human family, and we as a collective will resurrect the oppressed all over the earth and usher in the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. We're going to end the broadcast today. I love you, and I thank you for listening. And you have a blessed week, a blessed month. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.